It is good to be here. I say that frequently, and I mean it. I'm so privileged to be here, even if I did have to sit on this side. There are some things that you have to do sometimes and some sacrifices you have to make, but I guess I could have sat on this side, but I didn't. We are missing a number of people this morning. Several people seems that are missing. But I got a little surprise this morning. I come up and I find four people here that I'm really glad came to be with us. We are closing out on a chapter where many have been assembling in this building for a number of years. And so that it is kind of special to have them here, because I know that there won't be that many more opportunities, if time lasts, that we will be in this building. And there's a little bit of sadness to that, not that much, but there's more for some people. So it's the way that we are. And we certainly get used to being places, and I don't know what's going to happen for the seating arrangement there. We'll all be fighting for seats and trying to find us some new ones, I'm certain. But thankfully, we will have seats, and that's a wonderful thing. If things go well. Nick, that surprised look on his face. So we may be bringing seats, but we'll have a place to sit. But we are thankful for that opportunity. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, I realize that this was written during another law, and that David was talking about this during the time of the law of Moses. But we can make application today in the principles that are taught here. Know that the Lord, He is God. That is true, regardless. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. When we look at our lives and we think about our lives, we have made an effort in this congregation to get together every quarter and spend some time in prayer. And one of the things that we constantly put up there for someone to lead us in prayer about is the things we're thankful for. And lots of times people will send me things that they are particularly thankful for during that last quarter, or something maybe that happened recently. And sometimes we forget that aspect of our relationship with God, and we're just not as thankful as we should be. So we should always, whether we're assembled together or every day of our life, we need to approach our life with thanksgiving. I want to ask you a question. How much time this last week did you talk about things that were going wrong in your life? How much time did you spend talking about very negative things, rather than how much time did you spend with thanksgiving in your heart? As someone once said, regardless of what's going on in our life, how difficult it is, there are things to be thankful for. I don't care if we've lost the one that was the closest to us. There are still things to be thankful for. And we need to understand that and know that. We need to approach God with thanksgiving. This is the last lesson on Sunday for this year of 2015. And I just think about, it's hard for me to think back and realize that that amount of time has gone by. It just went by. I don't know about the rest of you, but it always seemed quickly, and it seems like, as Glenn and I have talked about, the older you get, the quicker it is. And you've heard me say this before. It's not really that time goes by quicker, it's just the older you get, it takes longer to do something, so it just seems like time goes by quicker. What used to take you a few minutes might take you an hour now, and on and on. We'd all agree much has happened in the last 12 months. That as we've looked back over the last 12 months, we look over the world and there's some things that have drastically changed the way the world is. There's some things in this nation that have changed dramatically. Things from moral issues to people losing their lives to many other things where we look back and we think about them. And even in our local area, some things have happened in this last year that we would have been shocked at years ago. And now they just happen. Each one of us has experienced changes. Some of us closer to our physical families and some of us farther away. But there's many times that I'll talk to, like, Glendon, and he'll tell me about someone he's going to a viewing. or he's doing this, or he's doing that about someone that has changed, something that's changed in their family. Of course, with the lambs, that could be a lot, because there's a lot of lambs around here. You can't go anywhere, you can't throw a rock without hitting a lamb. Also, our spiritual families, things have happened with that as well, and even all the things that is in our sphere of influence. Each of us reflect on these changes, and I hope it, as Christians, though, that one thing is a constant. One thing has never changed. That's our relationship with God. That regardless of what else is going on, we approach Him with thanksgiving in our heart. With all the things that are going on, we should be a very thankful people. That's our one constant. The reason is because God will always be there for those who love and obey Him. He will never leave us or forsake us. Every day of our life, every minute of our life, every second of our life, God is there. That's the one being that never changes. That's the reason we can always be thankful, knowing that He's always there. Knowing that with all of these things going on, and I don't care how bad they were, or maybe how good they were, it's God that's always there. Paul, inspired to write this by the Holy Spirit, shows us that in Philippians 4:6, which we use a lot, the importance of always approaching God with thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So I'm getting ready to approach God, and I have some needs. And I'm going to talk to Him about these needs, and I need them really badly. He says, but do it with thanksgiving. Don't forget that when you're asking God this time, to remember all the things that He's already done, as Mike led us in a prayer this morning and thanked Him for so many things that are in our life. Why? Because we forget. Our need is urgent. Do you ever have, those of you that are parents now, ever have your child come up and the first thing they do is say, now, first thing I want to do, Dad or Mom, is I want to thank you for all the things you've done. Now I have a request. Cody shook his head, no, that's just not the way it happens, is it? And we forget that with God as well as His children, don't we? We are so urgent with what we need to approach Him with that we forget to thank Him for all that He's already done. And a question, we have a song, can you count your many blessings and name them one by one? Of course you can't. There's not a possibility for us to do that. There's no way that I can remember everything that God's done for me. So this idea of thanksgiving is just remember to thank Him, period. And maybe sometimes specifically thank Him for things. And maybe, wouldn't it be a good idea, like a lot of us practice doing, and I know most in this group do, thank Him at every meal for that meal before you partake of it. It's a wonderful thing to have those blessings from God. So from Luke 17, 12 through 19, we're going to read something. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now I want you to picture this. This isn't someone standing right next to Jesus. They were to be far off, way off. They had to holler out at Him to get His attention. Hey, we're over here. Because they knew better than to get close. And so it was, so when He saw them, He said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at His feet, giving Him thanks. Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Very short, very few words, and it's powerful. And it says a lot about us and our attitude of gratitude. Do we really have that type of attitude? Are we really grateful? Are we really thankful to God? Or we just assume He owes us this, and every day of our life I'm just making it, and after all, it's me that's pulling this off. It's me. let's look at these lepers for a moment. Let's figure out something. Maybe we can figure out something about ourselves. This is a dreadful condition. It's dreadful. They're lepers. They stick together because they're all lepers. It doesn't matter to them. They're not going to give it to each other. They already have it. They realize their circumstances. They know from Leviticus 13 and 14 they have certain responsibilities. Those of them that are Jews and even the Samaritan who seems to understand something about the law of Moses understood. We don't get around people. The only person we can go to is the priest. The priest has to do certain things. And there's detailed explanation for what they need to do as lepers. And this is, excuse how I'm going to say this, this is almost like having cancer that we can pass on to someone else. This has a death sentence to it for most people. This gets worse and worse. It doesn't get better. And you're not allowed around other people with certain kinds of leprosy because that leprosy is very bad. It killed a lot of people, and it's killed a lot of people through the ages. It's not just during this period of time. It's a horrifying disease that eventually just eats you up, basically. And they stay away from. It says they stayed at a distance because they know better. They're not allowed to get around people. There was even leper colonies for years where they actually made people go there, and they went there to die. And people who went to take care of them sometimes got it, and they died as well. This is horrifying. This is dreadful. I'd hate to wake up tomorrow with leprosy. With all of our medicines, I still wouldn't you? I don't really want this disease that they had that was contagious. So they're desperate. They're desperate. There's no way, that they can get control of this. There's nothing they can do. What are they going to do? Well, they lift up their voices from a distance. Scream out at him, basically, Jesus, Master! And what we find from this is we see them calling out to Jesus. Remember, they don't have the written Word of God like we do. They're searching for someone who can help them. They no doubt have heard about Him, that He can do these wondrous things. Not anything said about them having ever seen Him do anything. And we're going to know it's on the basis of them just believing because they've heard. And they need help. And they're desperate. So they do approach the right one. He's the one they need to approach. And indeed, they approach Him in the right way. They call Him Master or Teacher. One who understands and knows. The right one to approach. But He's Master in so many ways. We already know He's Master over the sea. He's Master over the things of this life. He's Master over health. His Master. He is the one. He had told them He's the only one. Not these ones that pretend to be on this earth, the ones that call themselves that, Rabbi. He is. They have a dire need. They say, have mercy on us. Mercy. I'm dying. Every day, this is a horrifying disease. It's tearing me apart. And I know people have had some horrifying diseases. And it's awful to watch, isn't it? This is found in their plea or their, if you will, prayer. Have mercy on us. That's all we ask. They need it. They need mercy. They need to be rid of this terrible disease. Mercy is one of those things where you want to get rid of something that maybe in life you rightfully have. Not in this case. But they want the mercy. They just want rid of it. They want rid of this disease. And He says to them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, didn't they know this already? Had they not already done this? But let me tell you something about this. Let me tell you how desperate they were. Let me tell you their understanding of this. Let me explain to you this awful condition. They don't wait. They don't say to Him, no, wait a second. We've tried that. Well really, you don't have anything else? You remember a person who did that, don't you? Naaman. You remember a person who had leprosy, and you remember him, and he said, don't you have anything else? Come on. There's better ways of doing this than that. Well, I thought... Not these people. Not these 10 lepers. They immediately obey. They head off to the priests. They're thinking, okay, maybe this will work. Maybe this will work. Now, why did Jesus tell them that? Well, he's just telling them to obey the law of Moses. The law is still in effect for them. What did the law say? Go to the priests. He's saying, if you did what God asked you to do, basically, you should have obeyed in the first place. This is what you should have done in the first place. What would we tell someone? Same thing. And they do what they're told. 10 of them head out. I don't know where they were heading to. I don't know whether they were going all the way to Jerusalem. I don't know where they had a place they could go, but they knew somewhere where there was priests involved, because he's up around, apparently around Galilee and Samaria. So he's up in the northern part of Israel. But I'm thinking they're willing to make this journey because they're thinking, okay, we've heard about him. We know about him. Maybe this will work. I'll do as I'm told. You remember Peter when he said about the fishing? Cast it over. And they did. They said, but we fished all night. He said, just put the nets out again. And immediately they put them out again and they caught fish. It's listening to the master. What do? You do what you're told. And a complete healing takes place. They're off. And as they went, they were cleansed. How'd they know that? They looked down and there's nothing there anymore. I mean, this is not like they looked down and it's starting to go away. It's all gone. This leprosy is completely gone. Can you imagine walking along and all of a sudden look down and they look at each other and they're like, I don't have any leprosy anymore, do you? Wow, wouldn't you be excited? Absolutely. Aren't we excited when we hear someone that's had some disease and now they no longer have it? Aren't we excited? And we think, wow, that is so wonderful. That doctor did a wonderful thing. Right? That medicine, that did it. And we always have, wow. They are cleansed. Three little words. They are cleansed in the English language. Just done. Not partially, not a little bit. They instantly realize they're 100% healed. Not 98. Not it might come back. It's done. Wow. I don't think we can grasp this. This is not something where Jesus walked up to him and said, be you healed. This is not something where he put some mud on. This is not anything like that. He just said, you go to the priest. Because that's what the law of Moses said. And they're on their way trying to obey. And they're cleansed because of their immediate obedience. One's properly grateful. Wow. One of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He returned. So we ask God for anything. We get it. What do? I earned that one. I didn't know. I don't care how it happens. I tell people all the time, if it is good, return to God. And when you return to Him, praise Him for it. He praised Him. With a loud voice, glorified God. He's come to Christ and he's glorifying God. He did more than that. It says he fell down on his face at his feet. That is an example of true worship as the Bible talks about it. It's getting down as low as you can before the one you need to. He realized the power of this one he's standing before. That at His word, He healed them. That's power beyond anything we can possibly understand in this life. I've never gone to a doctor in my life and he said to me, I'll tell you what, you go see the preacher. And I'm on my way to see the preacher and I'm healed. Have you? Now that is not the law of Christ. I understand that. But I've never had anything that could happen in my life. I've never had him even say to me, be ye healed. Have you? And then it says he gave thanks. Think about these four things. He understood where it came from, his healing. He understood who to give the glory to. He understood who to worship. And he understood who to give the thanks to. Can you imagine how many times he said, thank you, thank you, thank you? And he was a Samaritan. How many are really grateful? Jesus says, only 1 out of 10. 10% of the ones that were completely healed were thankful and returned. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Were there not 10 cleansed, he said? For the 9. I don't have any idea in this story. It's never told whether they ever even showed up to a priest or not. It's never said if they did anything else or not. It's never said about these other 9 where they went or what they did. It's never said if someone went looking for them and saying, hey, you should thank God for this. You should go back and thank your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one you asked for help from. He said, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? No one returned to me to give glory to God except this foreigner? What's the difference? Luke 17:19. He said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. It's faith. How many times had Jesus said to someone that their faith had made them well when he healed them? And yet we know he's the one who healed them. Why did he say that to them? Go back and read them. How many times you'll find it's your faith has made you whole? Why? Because faith is required from our part if we expect that from God. Now, God blesses all. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But Jesus makes a point about this man's faith had made him well. This was different than the rest of them. God had blessed them by making them well, but this man's faith was involved. This is much more important. This is something that's going to be with him forever. This is something that's going to keep his faith in God forever. Faith is powerful enough even to heal, because faith recognizes the one who heals. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's what this man understood. He came to the right one, and he understood who the rewarder was, and God rewarded him for it. Think about that. So let's look at ourselves. Do we have an attitude of gratitude? How many of us understand the dreadful condition we were in? We had something much worse than leprosy, didn't we? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. I deserve spiritual separation from God for all eternity. Why? Because I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God. All have. We just do not understand how bad sin is. You combine all the bad diseases in the world and put them in one person, and it's still not as bad as sin is. That's how bad sin is. But we just look over it. It's not a big deal. It doesn't amount to anything anymore. People make fun of that. So it takes a desperate measure. We've got to have to seek someone out. And he said in John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, is what it says. Yeah, come to me. You will die in your sins. The truth is, if we don't recognize him for who he is, we're going to die in our sins. We've got to go to the right one. We've got to holler out at him, if you will. We've got to say, I need your salvation, because we have a dire need. In Luke 18:13-14, you have these two men. You have a publican who looked at himself as being, a Pharisee who looked at himself as being this wonderful man. I have no sin. Look at all the good I've done. As he talked to God. And then you have this man who recognizes this tax collector, and I'll tell you what, he understood. He understood this need. And then what does he finally say? God, as he beats on his chest, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's an understanding of what you have. It shows up on our bodies. It eats us up. It destroys us. And we just look at it like, oh, wow, I've got some leprosy. That's not too bad. And in addition, I want to go share that with everybody else. I tell you, this man went down his house justified rather than the other. Understanding who our situation. It has to be immediate obedience. We can't think about this and think, well, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Well, almost is not good enough. The jailer in Acts 16. They taught him about Jesus and his family. He said, well, let me think about this for a few days and I'll get back with you. When he told him what he needed to do and how bad sin was and what Jesus had done for him, And then he needed to have the faith to be obedient. It was immediate. We see his repentance. He goes the same hour of the night and washes the stripes off. He's saying, I'm so sorry I beat you. I shouldn't have done that. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Their faith prompted them to believe in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to confess Him as their Savior and repent. Be sorry for the way they'd lived. And now be immersed in water for the remission of sins. And they had a complete healing. As Paul was told by Ananias in Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If you knew going down in the water, in obedience and in faith, you believe that God would take away your sins, not because of the water, but because of your obedience, would you do it? Would you do it? To get rid of the leprosy of sin? To come up out of that water without sin at all? For the first time in your life ever? Well, I mean, there was a time when you were innocent, but once you started sinning, this is the first time. And to be properly grateful. To come back to God and say thank you for this. In Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, seek the Lord while He may be found. He's talking to those Jews. Principle for us today. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and return to the Lord. And He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. We need to constantly come back to God. Always. That's an act of repentance. That's turning back to Him. We need to praise Him. These people realized what they had in Acts 2. The Lord had added the 3,000 to them. Those that had been obeyed God's word. Those that had repented and been baptized. And we find in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They praised God daily. They, every day, praised God for their salvation. How many times do we praise God for our salvation? Have we forgotten? Do we go back? Do we worship the one we should? Do we truly fall down before Him, our faces to the ground, understanding what He's given to us? Matthew 28:16-17a. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountains which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Now there's some others that doubted it, said still, but the ones that did worshipped Him. They understood. They need to continue to do that every day of their lives. Worship the one who died for them. And they gave thanks. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I certainly could use a lot of other passages of Scripture that talk about these things. Are we like the one leper? Are we properly grateful? Have we forgotten where we were? How many are really grateful? In Matthew 13, I'm going to read this, 3 through 23. You're quite familiar with this. Parable of the sower and the seed. We've talked about this many times, haven't we, that the seed fell on four different places. Three of the places accepted the seed. And how many remained faithful? How many truly were grateful? One of those three. So technically speaking, of all the seed that was sown and all the four soils, only one was truly grateful and stayed faithful to God. That was that seed that went into the heart of the good person and they were obedient. What was the difference? What kept it there? Well, we know that, you know, the things of this life, the deceitfulness of wickedness can take it away. Satan can pull us out. But in Romans 1:16-17, he lets us know that what it takes is not just the Word of God, but then our faith in that Word. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You notice faith in there a few times? It's not just the written faith, but it's also the individual faith in that written faith. That man, he said, had faith. That man believed. That man first believed by coming to Jesus, and then that man walked away knowing who had healed him. Did he really know that? No, he was walking by faith and not by sight. He could have walked along and said, well, this is a miracle. We were just walking along and all of a sudden we... No, he knew. He knew where that came from. Did he see Jesus do that? Heal him? No. I think this kind of sums it up. Ephesians 2:1-9, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." That's the way we were, not how we should be now. But God, who is rich in mercy, remember the lepers as we go through this, "because of His great love in which He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you were saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And it goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship. He has created us to do His works. The just live by faith." Faith in the One who's able to heal us, both physically, which is a temporary thing, and spiritually, which is a permanent thing. But here's our problem. You know why I know we haven't shown gratitude a lot of times to Him as Christians? Because we go back and live just like we did before. We stay with the same people we did before. We do exactly the same thing we did before. And somehow or another we say to Him, "I'm so thankful for your salvation." We never pick up His Word. We never look at it. We never pray to Him. Every once in a while we show up for an assembly and we say to Him, "Accept me as I am. I'm not going to change, God." I've wondered, did the nine get their leprosy back? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Unless they changed, they got their spiritual leprosy. Never was removed. They didn't have the faith to get it out of there. And that's a sad thing. Our faith leads us to obey. Have you obeyed Him today? If not, please consider God's Word. Become a child of God today, and as a Christian, if you haven't been thankful to God, go from this day forward, including myself. Let's be more thankful for God, what He's already done for us. Would you please stand?